nothing about failing in the entire makeup of the entire kingdom that God had concerning us.
Amen.
Failure is not an option in your life. I'll say it one more time. Failure is not an option in your life.
Amen.
There are some points that I'm going to give you for leadership as we go forward. I continue to study leadership, and I said this to you before, I'm going to study it until the master shows up, because I am a leader. Oh boy. And being a leader, I must study. There are different ministers of the gospel. I first talk about the original gospel, which is the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, the Father. They are the greatest leaders ever. But then there are other people who have written books and things, and I study them and I read them. And one of the people I talk about the most is Dr. Miles, though he's no longer in his realm. The reason why, because if you want to epitomize leadership, his books have it.
Amen.
You can say what you want to say. Pastor has no shame. I study his stuff. I study other people. And there are other people I don't study because what they're talking about is just nothing.
Right.
I don't have time for lip service.
Yes.
I could do that myself when I go to fast food restaurants. You know why they call it fast food? They just want your money. They want you to eat fast and get out.
For the next wave.
And guess what? They make sure you're not comfortable because they put wooden chairs in there. There's nothing comfortable about those seats.
That's right.
That's why they want to know, is it to hear or to go?
Come on.
You hear or to go? And you say here, after 5 minutes, you start moving. We should have took this. Let's go. They don't want, that is not a restaurant. It is fast food. So let's look at a few things. I'm going to give you some notes quickly. There are six things. I'm going to give you three now and then three after. I'm telling you, this is a wonderful atmosphere for this message.
Hallelujah.
And I want your hearts to be ready to receive. And we're going to have a good time, all right? Number one, leadership. Nothing is impossible for a leader. Nothing is impossible.
Amen.
Number two, leaders never surrender to a problem. Never. You never surrender. And number three, leaders are not afraid to fail.
Amen. All
right. If you are a leader in this life and you are a father or a mother or have kids, or, you know, all of us had father or mother. Our parents missed it sometime, but they were not afraid to tell you they missed it. You know why? They'll tell you, I'm your mother, I'm your father. There is no instructions that came along with you. Come on, let's be real. And now we have our kids, we're saying the same thing. We tell them, I may miss it sometime. Leaders are not afraid to fail. So let's go back, one, two, three, quickly. Nothing is impossible to you as a leader. You need to know that. The world will always set limits on you because of your potential of who you really are. They are afraid of you.
Yes.
You got to understand that. The world system, I talked about it before, and I'm going to keep going over and over this till it becomes so real to you that you'll see it. The word world in the New Covenant, as far as how you see it, is the word cosmos. It means orderly arrangement. How Satan set up the world, it is to keep you in a position of you never knowing who you are.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing is to keep your identity away from you.
Right.
He wants you to be a mystery to yourself so you'll never fulfill God's given assignment for you for your life or your generation.
Mm.
Got it?
Yeah.
So nothing is impossible for you.
Nothing.
You never surrender to a problem.
Amen.
You are going to have a problem in this life with somebody or something. Never surrender to it.
Amen.
And never be afraid to fail.
Amen.
Failure is going to happen somewhere in your life.
Yes.
Does not mean that life is over. Doesn't mean it quit. You may have an idea. It may not have worked. It may have failed, but that does not mean you have failed.
Amen. Amen.
What we have to do as a, I'm going to say this, and please don't take this the wrong way, because as a people, as mankind, we've got to get out of the box, because what we've done is we're in 2016, going to 2017, going to 2020, if the Lord tarries and whatever, we're going all the way down. In 2050, we can't use 1995 methods.
No. That's right.
We've been doing that. You don't have to change the gospel, but you must change your methods.
That's right.
Your methods change,
yes.
But the system, how it works, doesn't. There will be no re-dying of a sacrifice because the writer said he died once for all.
Yes.
So the blood is sufficient.
Yes.
The sacrifice was sufficient.
Right.
The Father received it.
Yes.
We will never need another Messiah to come and die for us because what was wrong is right.
Yes. Yes.
Got it?
Amen.
The method on what we're doing, how we're doing things, we must change our methods.
Right.
We must take advantage of everything that's out there that we use to communicate, speak to people, engage with people. And as a group of believers, we fear technology.
Uh-huh.
Come on, let's be real. We fear technology. You mentioned anything about the internet? Well, I don't go on the internet. Well, I'm not telling you to do everything, but you need to go on there.
Right.
You need to look at the internet and see what it is.
Yeah.
See how you can utilize that.
That's right. That's right.
See, what we've done was we let the tradition and religion of men scare us to the point where we go into a cave and come out once in a while and say, come with Jesus, come to me with Jesus. He's in the cave. You're lying. He's not in the cave. He's everywhere. And if you don't get an image of a leader, of what a leader really is and who you are, you're going to continue to use old methods to try to reach a new generation. The new generation isn't just the teenagers, it's you.
Yes.
Today's methods will not work unless you use tomorrow's answers. Go to Genesis 1:26. Let's start there. Let's find out what went on, what took place, so we can get it. Image of leadership. One more time, say, I am.
I am
a leader.
A leader.
I am
the image
of leadership.
Of leadership.
The first person that has to believe that is who?
Me.
If you believe it, everything about you will change.
Amen.
That's why you're not a sinner saved by grace once you're born again. Come on, you got to see that. You are not a sinner saved by grace once you're born again.
No.
Well,
that's
just religious rhetoric. Sinner saved by grace. Okay. I'll leave that alone for now. Genesis 1:26. We're going to go there. We're going to talk about the Father and what he did in the image. But I want you to understand something. God never, ever, ever, ever said anything he didn't mean.
Amen.
You got to remember that. He's not like man. Man may make a statement and said, I changed my mind. When God says, I changed my mind, or the word repent, it's usually because someone intervened or somebody did some intercession. Like when he was going to destroy Israel and Moses interceded.
Yes.
He was going to destroy us and Christ interceded.
Yes.
It never means he doesn't mean what he says. So what I'm trying to get you to see this morning as we move forward is, you have to change your image about you. Because you're a leader.
Yes.
You influence people every day.
Yes.
Whether you like it or not. You influence somebody every day.
Yes.
And every person you come in contact with, you deposit a part of yourself into them.
Yes.
Whether it be good or bad.
Yes.
You leave a deposit, or you are a representative of a kingdom.
Yes.
Yes. Genesis 1:26. I'm reading out the New King James Version. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. This is the kingdom mandate, but it's also the mandate in which God delegated authority to man and removed himself. But there are two great statements that he says here that are very powerful. Image and likeness. Likeness we're not going to talk about today too much. May touch on it later on, but that's not the forefront. The forefront today is the word image. Why is that important? Because this word image in the Hebrew, and remember the law of first mention is when it was mentioned first, that's really what it means every time.
Every time.
That word image, it's really in our image. In the Hebrew, it is the word selem. It is spelled T-S-E-L-E-M. T-S-E-L-E-M. It is pronounced selem. It means statue. Let us make man in our own statue. Image. Image. But watch, but the content of what he's talking about in the statue, now this is powerful, it is his nature, it is his characteristics, it is his righteousness, glory to God. It is his knowledge, it is his holiness, and dominion over creatures. I'll read it again. It is his nature. So when he made us in his image, he gave us his nature. Are you seeing that? He gave us his characteristics.
Amen.
Come on, you have the characteristics of Christ.
Yes.
He gave you his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
He gave you his knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Adam knew all things.
Yeah.
Come on, that's why Christ knew all things.
Yeah.
He gave them his holiness.
Yes.
Adam and the woman had his holiness. That's why the writer said, without holiness, no man shall. It's a part of the original assignment. And he gave us dominion over the creatures of the earth. Why is that important? Because he himself has dominion over everything.
Amen.
So anytime he makes anything in his image, these things, these characteristics, these part of his nature, they automatically come along.
Mm-hmm.
It's automatic.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he wants to make sure you rule at a lower realm than he's ruling. but yet you still rule.
Yeah.
Because man was designed to rule the earth or govern the earth and bring heaven's government to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
The way he rules the universe.
Yes. Right.
And all the galaxies. Got it?
Yes.
So his nature, his characteristics, his righteousness, his knowledge, his holiness, and his dominion over all creatures, he gave to us through Adam. Got it?
Yes.
Are you seeing that?
Yes.
Now watch. Again, I'm going to say this till you get it. Man's assignment was to bring heaven's government
to earth.
Rule to earth, and Eden was the starting point.
Amen.
Eden was the starting point.
Yes.
Why is that important? Go to Genesis 2:15. You're going to see. We're going to put this together. This is a powerful, good word. This is going to help you. It's going to help us. I'm excited about that.
Amen.
Genesis 2:15. Says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. See that? And right before that, it tells you that the Lord God planted a garden east in Eden. You know, the word Eden means delight. It means delight. It means pleasure. It means spot. It means moment. It means door. It means portal. So he put him in a spot for a moment under a door near a portal to be delightful. Because God was his delight.
Amen.
So he's standing in a garden, and in that garden, he said, this is a starting point. But every portal and everything that you see, it's available to you. And to prove that you have what I say, I'm going to bring every animal to you and let you name it.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, that's what it says previous. I'm just giving you quick because I can't go there for time, but you got to go back. He said he brought every animal to Adam and see what he would name it. And whatever Adam called it, it was.
Right.
So he wanted to see if Adam was beginning to exhibit the characteristics that he had been endowed with.
Yes.
Got it?
Amen.
And then he said, I'm going to put you in this garden, and I want you to do exactly what you just did with those animals from this garden, and I want you to move the garden or Eden out. In other words, I want you to go throughout the entire earth, and I want you to create portals and open portals so that everything about heaven would come to the earth. Are you seeing that?
Yes.
Now watch, this is very powerful. In 2:15 here, when the Father is talking, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, he said, I'm sorry, let me go back. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. You see that? In the original language, it says to guard it or to dress it. See that? It says to dress it and keep it. Now, that word dress it is the word that we've misunderstood for years, because in the translator, as they translate it, you have to keep researching. And for all those that are scholars and like to do it, you research it in the original language. It is the word Abad, and it's spelled A-W-B-A-D, I'm sorry, A-B-A-D, but it's pronounced Abad, A-B-A-D. It means to become, to become. So all the things that he put in him, he put them in Eden. Eden was first in heaven before it was on the earth.
Yes.
God planted Eden, not man.
Yes.
Got it?
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
So he put Eden in the east. He planted a garden in east in Eden, and he put the man there in that spot, in that moment, under that door to be delightful. And he put him there and he said, okay, stand here. Now become what I said you are.
Amen. Yes.
Got it?
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. When he did that, he also showed him where he was to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he stood there and he watched and looked at an entire earth full of chaos and disruption. And things that were out of order were in order, but there was no grass over here. There was shrubbery. Things were really bad. All kind of, it was just a mess. And he's standing there in Eden, and Eden becomes the model of what he's supposed to re-represent and do again.
Thank you for joining us today at Kingdom Ministries International. You can visit us online at kingdomfamilies.online or call us at 754-229-5641. We would love to hear from you. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you.